We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans, and welcome back to another edition of the Daily Draft, brought to you by Badger State Brewing in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I am your host and the publisher of Pack Report, Ross Uglum. And as you might notice, those of you who follow me on X, this is not my kid's new playroom, which I know is disappointing to some. As again, if you follow me on X, you might know that X, or formerly known as Twitter, you might know that where I live, which is in the Fargo, North Dakota area, there's been some weather-related terrorism. That's a Paul Allen bit, which I kind of almost feel gross for using, but sort of a snowstorm that has never come. It apparently is coming like now or within the next few hours, but it's supposed to have been here since Friday. I'm not really sure, but my studio is about 10 miles away from my house. I was able to get here. We're doing the show like this, you know, kind of the proper way, if you will. So posed a question on Twitter, going to actually kind of live because I wanted this to be more reactive thing. Like I like to you know, do things kind of as they come. And you know, when we break down somebody else's mock, we always do it respectfully, but I also do it, as I find it. I like to sort of react to the picks and give you my thoughts as they're sort of going through my head. Not as much as like, you know, going through something. Okay, this is what I'm going to say about these five picks. I don't think that's as fun or as valuable. So just not something we're going to do today. All right. So first thing is first, I mentioned on X or on Twitter that we are going to break down some of the options still available in free agency. We're certainly past, I would say, almost even the second wave of free agency. Now there's other waves, right? There's even the post-draft wave where it's like, okay, we went into the draft, we had 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 picks, however many it may be, and we had these three needs, and we didn't have a player fit a need at this spot, or we took a guy in round 6 that we're not ready to start, or we took a guy in round 5 that we're not ready to start because we didn't like our options in round 2 and 3. So now we need to go get a veteran, and those waves are, you know, coming. There's also the you know, camp cut wave, and the Packers haven't been super in on that one. But you know, guys that just get beat out by a younger, cheaper player, or, you know, have a disagreement with the coach, or it doesn't matter. I mean, there are tons of waves of free agency, but this is kind of what I would call wave 3, and what it's called is not that important, but this is okay. We had the big ones, right? Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney, that was all on the day of. Other than that, I think that's it for Green Bay on the signing side, but you have the re-signing of Keyshawn Nixon, the re-signing of Tyler Davis, the re-signing of Corey Ballantyne, the re-signing of Eric Wilson and Christian Welch. So you have kind of bottom of the roster re-signings. Keyshawn got more money than a bottom of the roster guy, but I mean, you know, in my heart, he's a dime or a sixth corner and an all-pro kick returner. Unfortunately, right now he is your starting nickel. But I do digress sometimes when it comes to the cornerback room. Anyway, we're past that point, right? And then we're past, you know, where a bunch of these other signings happened. A bunch of the you know, signings I would have maybe liked to seen Green Bay make, where Tyron Smith got a deal. That's not one I would have made, but would have wanted to make. But Kendall Fuller got a very reasonable contract. You saw Cameron Curl get a super reasonable contract. Zeitler got a deal that I absolutely would have done if I was Green Bay. You've seen, you know, a number of guys get that second wave of contracts. And now where I think we're in wave three, and I'm not going to call this necessarily the scrap heap. It's not, because I think there's a few, you know, guys out there that'll get decent guarantees or decent salaries. This isn't, you know, like when Green Bay acquired, and I have to go back and see like exactly when it was, but it's not quite like when Green Bay acquired Devondre Campbell or when Green Bay acquired Christian Kirksey, when Green Bay acquired BJ Goodson. I'm talking about linebackers, but I mean the, you know, very kind of small amount of money that was given to those guys and the, you know, kind of the lateness in the game. We're still sort of ahead of that, but where we are, and the point of kind of where I'm getting here is we're in the point where you can still open up the draft for yourself a little bit. And you know, what I mean by that is the old adage, you sign for need and draft for talent. And that was not something that Ted Thompson did. And I'm not here to dunk on Ted Thompson. He brought Green Bay a Super Bowl, all the respect in the world for Ted Thompson. But that's something that Ted really struggled with, right? I mean, if the Packers had a specific need, you better hope that they hit in the draft, because signing someone from somebody else's team to fill that spot, to open yourself up in the draft, was just not something that he did. And it's something that Brian's been better about. And Green Bay has done some of that by moving on from Aaron Jones and signing Josh Jacobs. They don't have to get younger at running back. They did. They didn't get super young like I would have, but they got, you know, 26 instead of 29 going on 30. So that was key. And then you don't have to really do anything at safety now. You can, but the Packers have proven, you know, over time that they're really comfortable with having one like really good safety and being, you know, okay, kind of moving forward with that. And you saw that when they won a Super Bowl with Nick Collins and Charlie Peppra. I think you've seen that with, you know, and went into last season comfortable with having no dependable safeties at all. But the Xavier McKinney signing puts him in a position where, you know, just and I'll talk about him in a second. Just go grab Rudy Ford. You know, draft didn't work out. We didn't get a guy that we wanted. You know, Newbin went before we were comfortable due to, you know, some of his athletic testing stuff and whatever. Didn't work out. Didn't work out the way you wanted. And now it's okay. Well, Rudy, why don't you come back and you can be our starting, you know, second safety. I think that would be a deal that's attractive to Rudy Ford, but they don't have to do anything. I mean, they got the entire safety room last season from the scrap heap. And I'm not saying that was a smart way of doing business, but Xavier McKinney has set a significantly higher floor than that already. But there are, in my opinion, spots on this roster that could use a little floor setting and, you know, not pigeonhole you into, you know, doing something you kind of don't want to do in the draft or forcing yourself at a position. The big one for me is cornerback, right? I've mentioned, I think I did something the other day where like all the non-Jair corners, you know, we're outside of like the top 90 in coverage grade from Pro Football Focus. And again, like PFF's not the gospel, but you start looking at the hard numbers and completion percentages allowed. That's, I mean, you can tag a play wrong, but that's pretty much what it is. Completion percentage allowed, QB rating against, ball production completely non-existent, tackling numbers mediocre at best. This was not a good group. And, I think, you know, I did a fun film study. I think they might have something in Carrington Ballantyne. I'm not ready to make roster decisions based on thinking they might have something in Carrington Ballantyne, but if you're going to get into a man scheme. And if you're going to get into a press scheme, I think they have something in Carrington Ballantyne. I'm not convinced at all that they have anything in Ballantyne, in Nixon, and in Stokes. And the Stokes stuff probably isn't his fault, but he has not played good football in a very long time. He was bad in 2022 before he got hurt. He was catastrophically bad against the Bucs, which is, it's a small sample size. And it's his first game back in a long time. I'm willing to understand that. I'm willing to go there. But he was bad in 2022. He was bad in 2023. And if you are going to try to go places, and I think this Packers team wants to go places, putting your eggs in that basket is dangerous. He can be a part of camp. He can compete. But putting your eggs in that basket is dangerous. And Keyshawn Nixon was one of the worst five or six interior corners, maybe seven or eight interior corners in the NFL. And the worst part about that is he basically out-snapped them all. You go look at his passer rating against, completion percentage allowed. You look at his tackling numbers. You look at his ball production. You know, and if you want to, you know, go deeper than that, or put some trust in PFF's grading, you look at his coverage grade. But the hard numbers that is then, you know, potentially associated with the grading, 22nd, 23rd, 20, and I'm talking about guys that have played at least 200 slot snaps, 27th, 28th. I mean, he's a return man, guys. I don't know what else to tell you. So free agents that I would sign, Steven Nelson. I like Steven Nelson a lot. Was with Houston last year, played, I think he's 31 years old. That's fine. It doesn't need to be a long-term deal at this point. You know, I think they signed Tremont Williams when he was much, much older than that. Probably signed Woodson for the first time when he was almost that old. Like, if you can run, you're fine. 31 is not some death sentence for a corner. And at this point, you're not, I mean, and that's the thing with all these guys, right? The point where this stuff becomes cost prohibitive is gone. Steven Nelson is not going to bankrupt anybody at this point, or he wouldn't still be available. 31 years old. I think he adds a floor to the cornerback room. Just played in D'Amico's system. D'Amico Ryan's head coach of Houston, who worked with Halfley in San Francisco, worked under Robert Saleh when Saleh was San Francisco's defensive coordinator. It's the same stuff. You know, they all have their own little twist on it, but Steven Nelson just played in the system that Green Bay is bringing in. And he was good. He was very good. Better than all, easily better than all Jair corners, all non-Jair corners, excuse me. Is he going to be Rasul? I don't know, but better than all non-Jair corners. And it adds a floor to the cornerback room, adds a little bit of versatility. He actually started his career as a nickel in Kansas City, getting significant interior snaps for Kansas City. Can play inside, can play outside. And I, like I said, on a one-year deal or a two-year deal where the second – the year is fake, right? Basically a team option. I think Steven Nelson makes a ton of sense for the Packers. On a lower wattage, Adoree Jackson was tied to Green Bay during the draft process. Super athlete, and really was getting moved by Wink Martindale into a slot position during camp. And then they had some injuries and he ended up getting kicked back outside and struggled, but played really well in 2021 and 2022. And I think is just clearly a better player than Nixon for sure. And I would throw Adoree into, he's got some special teams value too, but I would throw Adoree into a competition with Stokes and Ballantyne for sure as well. And just add to the room, make sure, you know, we don't have to go get a corner, but we're also not married to having to play Nixon or Ballantyne or Stokes. That's it for the corners. I think they should either just re-sign Rudy Ford, and Rudy does a lot of really fun things, does a lot of really like hair on fire stuff. You know, his ball production has been better than basically, I mean, Amos was not that dude for ball production. Like Rudy has a lot of the actual picks and like splash plays from Green Bay safety group over the last 2 years. I would pair him with Xavier McKinney and feel really good about that. Not like, this can't be improved upon. But if you just told me that the starting safeties were Rudy Ford and Xavier McKinney, boy, I'd be cool with that. That would be, and I know Rudy was on the team last year, but he got hurt. Like he was their best safety last year. So if you take their best safety and then add a top four or five safety in the league and Xavier McKinney to that, that'd be pretty exciting. Justin Simmons, I didn't want him as what Xavier McKinney got signed to do, but I'll take him to be the other safety at this point where we're at, where he's not getting other offers. You know, did not do a lot of winning in Denver. Did not. Like, Green Bay could be really attractive to a kid like Justin Simmons. And then Julian Blackman has slot and free safety, like flex, and would just be an awesome addition. I know Andy Herman's been on that. And again, we're at a point where price is whatever.
What a phenomenal weekend of college basketball. And hopefully you, like me, enjoyed your experience even more by using Prize Picks. If you didn't, well, what are you waiting for? Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with your college basketball entries today. And it doesn't stop there. They have all sorts of entries available, including NBA, NHL, and so many more. Testing my skills on Prize Picks has been the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports, especially during March Madness. It's extremely simple to play, and they even have super fun promotions available, like their Taco Tuesday, where select player projections are discounted up to 25% to provide even more value and excitement. They also have incredibly easy withdrawals, and for those of you that utilize Apple Pay, you can use it for quick and easy deposits into your account. College basketball is always fun this time of year, but it was so much more fun this past weekend with Prize Picks. I'll be sticking with Caitlin Clark this week and probably adding a few NBA selections as well, especially with the return of Chris Middleton to the Bucks. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through Game Time. My experience with Game Time has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
I would sign Dalton Risner tomorrow. Rescued the Vikings, became immediately their best interior offensive lineman immediately. For what reason they didn't want to re-sign him, I don't get it. I don't think it's a character issue. I happen to know Dalton just because he was at Kansas State at the time when North Dakota State's coach went there. So he had some questions for me, and I wanted to talk to him about the draft because that was the year he was coming out. And he's a good dude. And I don't – like, I've never heard anything that he's, like, a locker room problem or this or that. So I watch the film. I look at the pass blocking numbers, you know, and then you look at the grading and whatever you want to think of the grading. Obviously it differs from NFL grading because good offensive linemen have value in this league, and Denver and Minnesota, both not a great organization, certainly not great offensive line rooms, have both been like, oh, we're good. I would sign Dalton tomorrow. College tackle, I think he could help you at right tackle. If something bad happened to your tackle, I think he could immediately start at right guard, put him in a competition with Sean Ryan. But even like Ryan, and I've made this comment to somebody else, I think you put Myers in a competition. You know, he's in a contract year, might not be a part of the team next year. Elton Jenkins was a college center. And Sean Ryan, and I've talked to offensive linemen about this stuff before, Sean Ryan was a left tackle at UCLA. Right guard is hard. Moving from like left tackle to left guard is a transition, but it's not that difficult because your footwork stays kind of the same. Your handedness, just the way you do business, it's a lot easier to move from left tackle to left guard than it is from left tackle to right tackle, or even left tackle to right guard. the left-right stuff, Josh Sitton famously said it's like wiping yourself with the other hand. And it is. And so I wonder if there's not a chance that Sean Ryan might be more comfortable at left guard, potentially play Elgton Jenkins at center, and then Dalton Risner at right guard. I think you'd have a significantly better offensive line than you did last year. Because Elgton becomes, I think, an upgrade over Myers. Risner becomes an upgrade over the Ryan Runyon situation. And you might see a big jump in play from Ryan moving to his more natural left side. Just food for thought. But they have no depth. None. Especially if they're going to cut Royce. And I think most people want them to cut Royce. Nijman is gone. Runyon is gone. Bakhtiari's gone. They have no depth. Risner gives you a little tackle flex. I think you could, like I said, I think you can play right tackle without getting killed. Play right guard, play left guard. Tom can play basically all five spots. Jenkins can play basically all five spots. Ryan, I think, can play maybe tackle, may probably get killed at tackle, but play college tackle, play right guard, left guard. Adding Risner just moves everybody kind of down a peg. Okay, now does Myers back up all three spots? Because people think Myers can play guard, and I kind of believe them. Now does Myers play all three spots, you know, as the backup guy? Does Elgton kind of back up? You just want, I would like to add one more veteran piece to create a floor for the offensive line. Speaking of creating floors, edge four, we've talked about this. I don't know that anything can be expected from Kingsley Enagbare. Maybe he proves me super wrong. That was a very late time. I think it was either an Achilles or an ACL. I think it was an ACL. That's a late time to be tearing that stuff in the playoffs. Even a big time push, 9-10th month recovery, you're still into football season. And you're never the same the first week. It takes a while. So what are they really getting from Enagbare at that fourth edge spot? And what if someone goes down? You really willing to let Brenton Cox roll an edge three? I don't know about that. I think a Whitney Mercilus type signing needs to happen now. And the two guys that I would do that dance with would be Carl Lawson, old draft crush of mine, diversifies the pass rush room, gets a smaller guy in there. Carl, not a big guy, but a productive guy. I spent time with the Jets in the Sala system. I would love Carl for what I think he would cost right now. The other guy would be Derek Barnett. Derek Barnett, you know, things didn't work out in Philly. Guys, he played really, really well for D'Amico Ryans in Houston in this system last year at the end of the season. He was very, very good for Houston. It was a limited run, but Derek Barnett on a reasonable deal to come in and fill Enagbare's role. And maybe you sign it or draft a pass rusher still. That's fine. Not stopping you from doing anything. I mean, you could redshirt Enagbare, you know, or assume that someone's going to get hurt, you know, I mean, but you could start an Enagbare on the pup. You could do a lot of things roster wise. If you say they get crazy and do a Chop Robinson in round one, you could still have, Barnett on the roster. Anyway, Carl Lawson or Barnett to create a floor in the edge room. And finally, and this one, honestly, from a roster's perspective is more important. And that is the Zach Cunningham and the Shaq Leonard like scrap heap offer. Make them BJ Goodson, make them Christian Kirksey, make them Devondre Campbell. You have to have a viable player next to Quay. And I like Isaiah McDuffie fine. Welch and Wilson are what they are. I think you need to get a defensive football player. Not a special teamer, a defensive football player in there to bring along Edge Cooper, bring along Peyton Wilson, bring along Junior Colson, bring along Cedric Gray, the kid from Notre Dame, either one, Bertrand Ulaafu, whoever it's going to be, and it's going to be somebody, I would make the Devondre Campbell, the first offer, not the second one, I would make the Devondre Campbell offer, the Christian Kirksey offer, the BJ Goodson offer to Cunningham or Leonard, and I would do it like now. That would be something that would be important to me. Okay, let's find out live who won the poll or what won the poll, what we're gonna do today. Okay, sorry, this isn't probably great on audio. So Today we're going to get aggressive and trade 25 and 41 to trade up and get really a blue chipper and then kind of continue with our draft. So this will, and I'll just say like how this would work other than sort of what the Vikings have done, which is to load up the war chest, if you will. You wouldn't probably make this trade that I'm supposed to make or the trade that I'm going to make here without having a player in mind. You would have a player fall to whatever spot you're going up for, and then you would go up, right? You're not just going to go, hey, we'll give you 25 and 41 for pick 12 now. Because what if the guy you wanted is gone? Now you just have pick 12 and you lost the 41st pick in the draft. For what? So this is backwards order of operation. This is not how a room would work, how an actual, you know, trade like this situation would work. So, all right, bringing in now my screen. I'm sure this is great again for the audio people. Okay. And we'll do slightly zoom in for our hard to see folks. That's about right there. 125%. Shout out to our guys with bad eyes. We love you. We're going to go 50-50. Appreciate PFF bringing in the public board. That is something where consensus is fun. Sometimes fun, not sometimes, but like PFF, we'll have Trevor Sikkema on to actually talk linebackers. Trevor's an awesome guy, extremely bright. I have an immense amount of respect, but it's just one man's opinion. And again, that's absolutely nothing against him. I think he's brilliant, but you end up drafting the same guys all the time because you're going off the same board all the time. So we've evened out the sliders here. We're half PFF board, half public. 50% care for positional value, 50% draft for needs, and 50% randomness. That's your Jahmyr Gibbs goes in the top 12, that randomness joint there. And then we're going to go into this and, again, do this in kind of a strange order, which is that we're going to have pick 25 and 41 here, and we're going to go to the Broncos at pick 12. Oh, okay. Well, we can get up higher. The Vikings aren't going to do that. That's not realistic. Let's just say the Broncos at pick 12. That's more like the Rich Hill chart anyway. If they're gonna likely accept that trade, Rich Hill basically says this thing's even, so I'm not even gonna ask for anything back. We're just gonna do this. The points chart that I use means that 25 and 41 is roughly about 12, and PFF's deal says that this is, you know, the Broncos probably winning the trade significantly. I don't know, man. The Vikings aren't going to trade with the Packers, especially after the Christian Watson trade. And they're at 11 to move up anyway. You know, they have 11 and 23 to move up to go get J.J. McCarthy or Jaden Daniels. That's what they're doing. So we're not going to trade with the Vikings because it makes no sense. We're going to trade with the Broncos. Okay. What the hell just happened? Okay, we got to restart this. I don't know what just happened. Sorry for cursing. I don't understand what just happened. I must have clicked the wrong button. I must be talking too fast and thinking too little. Here we go. Packers at 25. 50-50 on the slider. 50-50 on the slider. 50-50 on the slider. And 50-50 on the slider. Sorry, guys. I don't know what happened there. Going back. Denver Broncos. We're going speedy. I must have just clicked start draft like an idiot instead of offer trade. There we go. Now we're at pick 12. Again, not the order of operations that the Packers would do, but this is what it would look like if Green Bay got up to pick 12, hopefully, to do something cool. We're not going to take Bowers. As awesome as he would be and as ridiculous as that would be in the DeGuara role, I mean, Bowers in the DeGuara role and as a second slot receiver would be insane. We're not doing that. In this situation, I would go one of two ways because, I think Terrion Arnold is a guy that played a ton of zone. And I even said in the guide that his His comfort level in zone is higher, but like his traits are pretty man. His inside outside versatility is pretty man. He's going to be our number one corner. And so if Green Bay really fell in love with some of those man coverage traits from Terrion and his ability to play, you know, basically a left corner, right corner slot, it looks like he hasn't been drafted. And there he is. Wiggins is too light for them. And I think Matt Schneidman took Wiggins like using his Clemson measurables, which are honestly lighter than Green Bay normally does. And then the combine was hilariously too light. And then even his pro day where he added 10 pounds from the combine was lighter than Green Bay is ever going to take. Nate Wiggins, I would be very surprised if a Green Bay Packer. Guy two is Cooper DeJean. If Green Bay really fell in love with Cooper, and then guy three for me is Dallas Turner. And I talked to Justice about this. It's his top guy. This would be kind of like Halfley going and getting his Will Anderson, because Turner is the smaller edge that the Packers don't have. 6'4", 240. Okay. And if you're unfamiliar with this conversation, I'll break it down really quickly. Halfley comes from the Sala tree, right? I mean, he's into that San Francisco 49ers, really good Fred Warner, you know, late career Richard Sherman defense, Deshaun Goldson, you know, dudes like that. And those two coaches, Sala's now a header, as is D'Amico. Well, they made significant, everybody thinks 4-3, you think big defensive ends. Okay, but they made significant moves, both they being D'Amico and Sala, to get small speed rushers with big-time picks last year. Will McDonald, they took with the first-round pick that they got from the Packers in the top 15. Will McDonald's 241 pounds. The Texans basically traded like 2.5 first-round picks to go get Will Anderson, 240 pounds. So is this trade up for Terrion? Is this trade up for Cooper? Is this trade up for Dallas Turner? And Green Bay just used a one on LVN last year, but he's not the small speed rusher that I'm talking about. Still though, I'm going to stay true to my board. And in this situation, Green Bay decided that they just couldn't live without Cooper DeJean. And I know most of the Cooper stuff is, you know, him falling to 25, but this is a situation where they just fell in love with the player. They view him. And here's one thing that I'll say too, before this episode gets too long, listen to what Goody says when he says stuff. Here's something that I got wrong. And we will do picks faster after this. Here's something that I got wrong. When the Seahawks put in this single high system, the Legion of Boom, Earl Thomas was the free safety and Cam Chancellor was the strong safety. I can't remember who their nickelback was, but the two outside corners were B something. And then obviously Sherm was the other one. Now it's driving me nuts. 2014 Seattle Seahawks. Brandon Brown or Brandon, just absolutely losing my mind here. Defensive backs. Must have been Byron Maxwell. Who was the other corner? Did he end up on IR? Who am I'm absolutely losing my mind here. Brandon Browner, 39. Brandon Browner was the other big corner. Jeepers, creepers. And then they had a nickel. So anyway, the point that I was trying to make is that I thought they would have a designated nickel as they did last year. Keyshawn didn't play other positions. They would have a designated strong safety, a la Cam Chancellor, a la Jamal Adams. And they would have a designated free safety, a la, and basically like Hufanga was a designated strong safety for the Niners. Well, would they do something similar, you know, as like the Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor? And Goody said, we view them as interchangeable. We view slot, safety, and the two safety spots, we'd like them to be interchangeable. So some of the criticism of, you know, Green Bay's potential interest in Cooper DeJean is like, okay, well, they just paid their slot corner. Okay. I mean, Keyshawn Nixon's not stopping me from doing anything on the defensive side of the ball. They just paid their slot corner, and they just made Xavier McKinney one of the highest paid free safeties, if not the highest paid free safety in football. Okay. Do you really want Cooper DeJean starting at strong safety? First of all, sure. I don't care. Watch the kid tackle. Works for me. He's that strong. It isn't going to bother me at all. But when we start to talk about interchangeability, and God help us if that third guy is Keyshawn Nixon, but whatever, that seems to maybe be the plan. If two of those quote unquote interchangeable pieces are Cooper DeJean and Xavier McKinney, you have done some real work on the interior of your pass defense. So that's what this trade up to 12 was for. Cooper DeJean, he's your third interchangeable piece. That is a word that Brian Gutekunst used. And if you pay attention to some of the stuff that Ken Ingles has said, you pay attention to the other thing that he said out loud that I'm interested in, that we won't sim here, but that I'm interested in, is he said twice talking about trading picks for vets. And Goody has kind of been leading people to water when he's been talking. So, but the interchangeable word is why we go Cooper DeJean over Terrion Arnold, just because I think Arnold is a corner and Quinion's off the board. So Cooper DeJean traded up, pick 12, took 25 and 41. Here we go. The rest of this will be faster, I promise. Goodbye, pick 41. Really interested here. You know, I think Bullard would have been on the board, something we would have discussed, but makes no sense now. The money you just gave Keyshawn Nixon and you just traded 25 and 41 for Cooper DeJean. We're not doing another interior pass defender unless you're just benching Keyshawn, but not willing to go there yet. Suamataia is very tempting here. Very Packersy, probably a guard for them, but very Packersy. Neyland is super Packersy. And then Chris Jenkins, who is actually who we're going to take. So, I mean, I'm just not going to pass that up at this point. So he's in my top 30 overall. I don't know what, you know, I don't agree with PFF on this thing. And as much as I look at Suamataia, Chris Jenkins is just something I'm not going to pass up here. So Chris Jenkins. He's the best run defending defensive lineman in the draft, pound for pound, period. Just not going to pass him up. Okay, Corley is really interesting. Paul is really interesting, although he would be outside of what they do. And what do I mean by that? He's tall, taller than what they like. He would be the tallest. He's significantly taller than Jason Spriggs, who is the tallest guy that they have drafted at on the offensive line since like Michaels or Verba. In the Super Bowl years, the first Super Bowl years. He is not what they do. Patrick Paul is not what they do. There's been some talk amongst really smart people in Packers land that not taking the 330-pound or the 6'8" offensive lineman has a lot more to do with them not being able to move. And you see that Patrick Paul can really run, but I'm seeing a mediocre vertical and no broad, and they care about broad. And I'm seeing a mediocre three cone, not bad, but mediocre. I don't think Patrick Paul is going to be on their board. I don't think they're interested in Patrick Paul at all. Poonai, they'll be interested in. I'd be very surprised if Poonai, I mean, you look at his broad for a guard is 83rd percentile and his three cone is 94th percentile. Poonai is a Packer. I don't know what else to tell you. Poonai is a Packer. There you go. We need a linebacker. Definitely looking at both Bullock and Jones and Dadrian Taylor-Demerson, frankly, and Vaki all of those guys to push at this point to push Nixon completely out of the defensive starting lineup. But that's not probably priority one. Eichenberg and Gray are still there. Man, this is tough because Jerrion Jones makes so much sense. Mahogany is a guard that plays guard, probably not somebody that they're looking for, and we just took Punai. Can't tackle people in the NFL anyway, so why isn't Kalen Bullock a consideration? Marshawn Lloyd, though. Marshawn Lloyd's the answer. Marshawn Lloyd is probably the last back that I have in that area. Tyke Smith is another slot defender if we wouldn't have done what we just did. But I'm going to bet, too, and it's not probably a great bet, but I'm going to bet with this many guys on the board that I would add to the defensive backfield, and that being I really like Andrew Phillips. I really like Jerrion Jones. I really like Taylor Demerson. I really like Tyke Smith, and I really like Cole Bishop. There are guys, there are defensive backs that I have passed over, and I like Elijah Jones for what Green Bay actually is going to do this season. I'm going to say that there's a chance that I can get a linebacker that I like or a defensive back that I like later. And we're sort of pigeonholing ourselves into having to go to the veteran scrap heap at linebacker. But guys, if it's not, and I can be moved on this, and I like Cedric Gray, but he doesn't play the position that you need him to play. He's not a Mike. So if it's not like Colson or Cooper, who kind of isn't really a Mike either, if it's not Colson or Cooper or Peyton Wilson, I'm going to the scrap heap for veterans anyway. I mean, that's just the way I feel about it. So back to Marshawn Lloyd, drafting him at 91. Very excited about what he would bring with Jacobs and Dylan. Very excited about it. All right, we have lost the thread a little bit here on what we were looking to do. Elijah Jones is still there. McKinley Jackson is somebody I'd be very interested here. Going to keep looking a little bit. McKinley Jackson is somebody I'd be very interested. I'm going to take Gray, though. We're going to take Cedric Gray next. I mean, even though he's not, he can play your other outside spot, do a ton on special teams, can blitz, can cover. That's an easy one for me. Should have a little flexibility here in round five, just doing things we want to do. Probably going to look to potentially Pritchett's super interesting. He's probably a fit for them. Bell is an interesting guy in the DeGuara role. Pritchett, I'm really looking at. I think he's going to fit what Green Bay historically does at the position. Haddon is a fit for them. And is, I would say, right at this moment, my most likely pick would be Haddon. The only thing is, and I guess we just took a linebacker, you know, is there another offensive lineman that you'd like to add after you took Punai to just continue to build out the depth? Or do we have to do it in round six or round seven, which is not something that we, being the Green Bay Packers, are doing? I wonder if my guy Grable is available or if he's gone. Grable would be probably the only one that I would look at in this spot. And he's not. I think he's gone. Pearl's interesting. Ladarius Henderson is interesting. I think he has to play guard at the next level. Trying to think of any of these guys. Donquas, is way bigger than anybody they'll take. Coleman is a Packer. They're too low on Coleman. The PFF's too low on Coleman. But I'm gonna just, and I know the Packers have had trouble with guys like this before, but I am going to challenge Kamal Haddon to stay healthy and add to the outside cornerback group. And he and Stokes and Valentine can just fight each other. That's where I'm at. I like the way this thing turned out. People are going to miss 41. People are going to say, Ross, there's lots of stuff where Cooper falls to 25. That's not what we did. You know, we went up there, took a look at Dallas Turner as sort of Green Bay's version of the Will Anderson pick, Green Bay's version of the Will McDonald pick. Just not what we chose to do. Looked at Terrion Arnold in that spot. I think he's an interesting player for Green Bay. I think he's probably their best fit. I mean, he's the guide's number one corner. So if you feel like the Packers have a need there, then acquiring the best one in the draft would be awesome. So we looked at Arnold. We looked at Dallas Turner. We looked at Cooper DeJean. Ended up going with Cooper DeJean. We're listening to what Brian Gutekunst is saying about versatility, interchangeability. And really, you know, Chris Jenkins is a tier one fit. You can learn about tier one fits in the Green Bay Draft Guide by the Green Bay Draft Guide powered by Packer Report. But I think Puni is, and I might be just butchering this poor kid's name, is a fit pertaining to what they do. Like Green Bay, he is a Packers-y fit. He, like, again, probably at guard, but you talk about 6'5", 303, elite broad jump, elite three cone. Guys, Puni is a Packers Packer. I'm telling you that right now. And then to get Gray and Haddon late, I'd be thrilled with this class. Would I miss that high second round pick? Yeah, probably. But man, I mean, this is the I like what we have here. I like this class is sweet. I got no problems with it at all. Okay. Now, wrapping up as we even approach minute 41, this is not going too bad. We get this thing done in 50 minutes. We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right, guys.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, Chad Reuters, 4-round mock. I have not seen this. Okay, I have not seen this. We're going to bring it up right here. I have not seen this. Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that either. There we go. Here I am. Here we go. Here's stuff that makes sense. Okay, I have not seen this. It looks like there's projected trades, and they have traded. The Packers have traded. And the Packers get a 4 to trade down to 28. Whatever, it take Faitanu. I'm here. I'm good. Faitanu is a very fine first-round pick. Nobody's going to jump up and down. Max Melton in round 1. Goodness bless. Woo! Okay. I'd be a little sad if they took Faitanu over Johnny Newton, but that's a personal preference. But man, Green Bay trading down and still securing one of Faitanu, Barton, or Jordan Morgan would be very cool. Very cool. Okay, where is this? I don't like the way this is done, but whatever. Round 2. Shout out Cooper Beebe. There we go. Now he's getting some respect put on his name. Those are two Packery deals. Oh, man. Okay. Well, they took Faitanu over DeJean. I would be very annoyed. But whatever. Sinnott at 39 and Cooper at 35. Did Chad Reuter go to Kansas State? That's my question. I don't know. I can't prove it, but that's crazy. I like that fine, but that's crazy. Jaden Hicks, I'm here for it. He doesn't run very well, but neither does Hufanga. He's the box safety. you want to talk about interchangeability, I'd be a little scared. I don't want Jaden Hicks basically doing any man stuff or short area stuff against slot receivers. But in a more traditional, just he is the Adrian Amos, he is the Charlie Peppra, he is the Morgan Burnett, I'm down with that. And I like Jaden Hicks just fine. 41's a little rich, but Fatanu, Jaden Hicks, adding an extra fourth round pick, I'm all good with what's going on so far. Hate this pick, and I saw somebody else make it. Guys, I'm going to go on a little rant here. It's going to be short. They're hosting him on a 30 visit, allegedly, which I don't get it at all. I don't understand what in the world you would do or why the Green Bay Packers would be interested in Michael Hall Jr. I don't get it. I don't. I see the elite explosive numbers at the hall, at the combine, or maybe that's pro day, whatever. I see the vert. I see the broad numbers. Guys, he's 6'3", 290. So what are you doing with that? You're going to cut Colby Wooden a year after taking him in the fourth round to put in second round pick Michael Hall Jr.? He's not. Kenny Clark doesn't sign it. And by the way, if they took him one pick ahead of Coleman and one pick ahead of Nealand, like has happened in here, somebody would need to maybe restrain me. Anyway, so the point that I'm making, and I'm a little distracted, just took a phone call, canceled a phone call. Okay, that's dealt with. He's 290 pounds. He's a three tech. So people would say, and accurately, by the way, and I've been about this, and unfortunately, and look, it happens. You know, they have not had, they being the defensive tackles, have not had a great run at the combine or really proving any of the one technique bodies can rush. Kenny Clark is a unique animal. I posted a tweet the other day about, you know, Kenny and his ability to create pressure as it is compared to most other nose tackles. And he's truly, truly elite of guys that are like 313 pounds or more. Kenny's ability to pass rush is unicorn-esque. I mean, just about. Michael Hall Jr. is not Kenny Clark insurance. He's 290 pounds. You're never playing him at nose. So even if you're worried about Kenny Clark not signing an extension, Michael Hall Jr. does nothing for you. It makes no sense. You have a guy in Devontae Wyatt who is 305 pounds and sort of has the body that you could think would be maybe be like a nice emergency nose, like a nice number three, a guy you could play at one tech at like 305, 306 pounds without getting murdered. He is not defending the run right now. Devontae Wyatt is not defending the run poorly. He's just not defending the run right now. He is a sub rusher, basically. He's a three technique. Carl Brooks is a former defensive end. He's not playing the nose. TJ Slayton, I think, is on an expiring contract. And then, so you're talking about three tech bodies that you like in Wooden, Brooks, and your starter in Wyatt, all guys that you've used top four round picks on. No, excuse me. They took Brooks late, but he's so good. I mean, he's basically a top 100 pick at this point. He should have been a top 100 pick. But you feel like Brooks is, you know, a budding star, really a Cullen Jenkins-esque rise. And you're telling me you're going to take a Michael Hall Jr. at 6'2", 290 to be the fourth guy in that room or kick Colby Wooden out of that room when you, by the way, also, I think, have both LVN and Gary that in this more single high race to the quarterback, one gap penetration system, Gary and Van Ness might have to rush from inside with their hand in the dirt. I don't mean to sound so angry, but like when I see Michael Hall Jr. to the Packers, I don't get it. What are you going to do with a defensive tackle that's 6'2", 290? He doesn't solve your theoretical future Kenny Clark problem. And I know that Reuters probably just looking at like, okay, they could use some help on the defensive line. This is a good defensive lineman. Boom. But for the Packers roster, Michael Hall Jr. makes, I don't understand why they're hosting him on a visit unless it's a smokescreen thing. I don't get it. I am blown away by the idea. Anyway, that was a fun rant that I didn't expect to participate in. Green Bay should have two picks down here at the end of round three, and then we'll find, I guess, their extra four when we get a chance. Cedric Gray, great pick. Bortolini, good pick. I don't like him that much. We'll get to that in a later thing. His combine basically, I think, took him from around like seven guy to around five guy, where I'm at least interested in to find out. I don't think his tape, and you saw him just get absolutely murder bull rushed at the Senior Bowl, which whatever, I don't think he has the weight in the seat of his pants to hold up inside early. And if I'm spending a third round pick on a center, and I get that Bortolini has some positional flexibility, but I kind of need you to play like now. And I'm not sure he's ready. And I think adding functional strength to that athleticism is exciting for year three, year four, whatever. I would not take Bortolini that high. I wouldn't throw a fit if they did, but he does not have a round three grade for me. And for what the Packers probably need out of that spot, I would not be that excited about that. And then two picks got to have here, two picks in round four, because we traded down with the Bills, and here they are. Miles Cole, that's high for him. I know what he did at the combine. That's high for him. He is pure projection and not a player that they can just plug into the edge four spot because Anagbare is down and say, go. He's a guy where, like, you put him with a good pass rush coach, and in year three, he might have something. And the Packers can't wait for that without Anagbare and with the kind of thinness that they have. I mean, if Rashawn Gary misses a couple games, which he has done, you're down to Preston Smith, LVN, and shoulder shrug emoji. I don't think Miles Cole fixes that problem. I love the Phillips pick. That's a nickel. He's immediately, in my opinion, would or should start over Keyshawn Nixon. I mean, immediately. And so in this class, now you've solidified the interior of the pass defense. And that's what I'll say. I mean, I like this class fine. Fatanu's great. Pairing Jaden Hicks with Andrew Phillips would be very, very good for, really solidifying the interior of your pass defense. Hated the Michael Hall pick, as I mentioned, but then in round three, I didn't mind one of the picks, right? Yeah, the Cedric Gray thing would be awesome. And Bortolini's fine, and they need interior depth. So all in all, this is a good effort. There's just a couple things that I didn't like, and one thing in particular in the Michael Hall Jr. thing that I did not like at all. All right, after 50 minutes of a wonderful Mock Draft Monday, we are ready to close up shop. Thank you guys so much for watching. I know that the Mock Draft Mondays are sometimes a tougher listen because I'm thinking or I'm looking on the internet and you don't know what's going on my screen. But we appreciate the podcast folks for tagging along as well. How can you help us out? Buy the Green Bay Draft Guide powered by Packer Report. We should have a promo code for 10% off. That's daily, as in daily draft, D-A-I-L-Y. Check us out over at Packer Report. We've got awesome stuff going on. Dara Carriger is doing just really cool stuff. Did a great piece on Xavier McKinney. I've got really cool redraft stuff coming out that's going to be VIP. You never know what you're going to get from Dusty Evely. You never know what you're going to get from Andy Herman, Zach Jacobson. It's the number one way to support us and make sure the Packer Report stays alive is to become a VIP member. That first month is just a dollar. And I've said a million times, I will refund the dollar if it's that bad. And I've never had to do it. After that, you can easily just transition into an annual subscription, which is much cheaper on a dollar for dollar basis. And boy, we would just appreciate the heck out of that over at Packer Report. Do everything that you're supposed to do here at the Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube feed. Like, subscribe, click the bell, get the notifications so that you get absolutely every ounce of Packers content that you require on a daily basis. Have a great rest of your Monday, folks, and go Pack, go.